Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for Beginning Another Day of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Friends, I hope you're at peace today. I hope you're able to rise this morning and draw near to God. One of the things we're trying to do here at home is the first thing we do getting out of bed in the morning is just to, before anything else happens, just stop and welcome the Lord and thank Him for this new day. Declare His authority over my life, over the life of my marriage and my children, my family, my grandchildren, and the whole clan. To just say, Lord, I put everybody in your hands, and Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Lord, the power that is in me is greater than every power that's in the world. Lord, you've already dealt with in my life, and you've confronted for me and with me the biggest battle, the biggest struggle I will ever have. You've helped me see and understand who I am. I'm a child of God and born again by water and the Spirit. You've come to dwell in me as in a temple. Lord, I ask in this time of difficulty and trial for all of us, everyone who's listening, I pray, Lord, that by the grace and power and presence of the Spirit, you would help us know with great conviction in a way that it consumes us and brings us rest, the knowledge that you dwell in us as in a temple. You're not far away. You're right here. Lord, I know that you've quieted the world down at a certain level. You've separated us and put us in a position, if we are willing, to have much more quiet and solitude and silence in our lives, at least for moments that we often didn't have before. Lord, I ask you in the quiet of our hearts, and I pray for everyone who's listening, that in solitude and in silence they could hear your word to them. That we would all have a confirming experience and knowledge and faith of your presence in us. The biggest thing that could ever happen to us has already happened. All the great enemies set against us have been subdued. Death has been subdued. Power of sin has been destroyed. And you've made us a new creation. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You are the King of glory. Friends, that's a good way to start the day for us, to really lay hold of the truth of who we are and not be consumed by the fear and the pain and the confusion, the chaos that's present. The Lord permits times like this, friends, for many reasons. And I think that what the Lord wants to show us, and I first begin with myself, begin with the church, not just the world at large, but with the church. The church is in a time of discipline under the Lord. You've heard me talk about it many times on the program. You know, the sins of the church have been revealed. The prestige of the church has declined. The numbers have declined. These are all signs that the Lord is permitting a purging and a discipline, you know, a chastisement, really, to be on the church. And remember, it's really clear in Scripture. The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. He chastises those whom He loves. It's something we ought to be grateful for, but we can't miss what He's attempting to do, what He's offering to us. He really wants our attention. There's a passage in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, where Paul talks about our being conscious of and being aware. He said, "Behold the kindness and the severity of God, two sides to the one God, both expressions of God's infinite total love, His kindness and His mercy, which is the first move of the Lord, which His kindness and mercy is expressed to us perfectly in His Son. We'll talk about before the program is over in the giving and expressing of His love and giving of Jesus to us. But He also can be severe, just, and His judgments can come. And judgment can begin with God's own household, Scripture says. I believe one of the things the Lord wants us, really two things, in this hour the Lord wants for us is to allow this time to be a time of purification for us in the church and to take great advantage of this moment to bring our fears, to bring our attachments, our idols, our crowns, whatever it is, to the feet of Jesus. And it's a time to recommit to Him. Just recommit our whole hearts to Him and to receive His gift, the gift of His life and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us, and to come out of the twilight. If we're on the fence, to get off the fence, because the Lord is doing there's a sifting and a separation going on. We saw this past year, the Pew Forum study, the statistics on how many Catholics and even self-identifying Catholics, some Catholics even practice, just don't believe in the real presence of Jesus. And guess what? Do you think it's any surprise that we can't go to communion right now? Why we've been through a period of without it? It's like a friend of mine said, it's like the judgment is fitting the crime, that one of the things that we're being deprived of is this gift. And I think the Lord really wants us to stop and ask the question, what does it mean to you? What does this gift mean to you? It's the holiest thing on the planet. It's the representation of the King, of the sacrifice that saved the world, His offer of great love. He said, my body is real food. My blood is real drink. It's real. It's a miracle. And it's for us. And so many are casual, presumptuous, proud in the face of it. I mean, look at the stats of how few people go to church every Sunday. It's not just a rule. It's one of the great commandments of God. Keep holy the Lord's Day. Honor the Lord's Day. Honor God. Those are just signs of how far people have drifted. And out of mercy, and in a severe mercy, God has to shake the church and say, and I think part of it is say, confronting us with the reality of the inescapable reality of death. Look at what it reveals about you. Look at how it shakes you and fills you full of panic and you have no answer for ultimately. The time we have, friends, is so precious and it's so important. And God does it not because He's angry stomping around in heaven. He's doing what needs to be done to get our attention for the sake of our salvation so that we live fully what we say we are. And so that we can be salt and light to a world that needs Christ. The gospel reading today is John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. And the beginning of it, the first verse, everybody knows. It's one of the most famous quoted verses in the Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish but might have eternal life. We often see, again, this verse, and we love to hear this first part. God so loved the world. God sent His Son to the world because He loves us. And that love is expressed from a father's heart that is concerned, moved with great urgency, because he understands what's at stake. The human race is destined to perish. That's what it says in this beautiful passage that warms our heart. Everyone who believes in Him might not perish. Perishing, being eternally separated from God, and dying what's called the second death in the Bible, eternal separation from God, this is the big issue. This is the biggest of all problems. We're made for God, meant to be united to God. And God the Father in heaven so loved us that He sent His Son to make it possible for us to escape this end, this certain end, apart from God's action. He goes on to say, but that everyone might have eternal life. So what's at stake from Jesus' perspective, the Father's perspective, even in this moment, what matters is eternal life. Are we ready to pass from death to life? Have we been born again, as we've been talking about this week, in the new life that's in Jesus? Have we become a new creation? The reading goes on. It gets even more interesting. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's important. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to condemn sin, but He didn't come to condemn you and me. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. So this is God's intention, salvation. Salvation is making it possible for us to escape eternal death. Saving us means he comes to deal with this sin and death problem so that we don't perish, so that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Do you see? And why the Lord could be moved with such urgency to do almost whatever and permit whatever it will take to wake people up so they don't die in their sin and be condemned. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the language of Jesus. This is the language of the apostles. God's love has come so that you don't perish. God's love has come so that you can be saved. God's love has come so that you will not be condemned on the day of judgment. But instead, he says, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. You see, in some ways, Jesus is saying, Jesus doesn't condemn us. We condemn ourselves by refusing to believe and receiving the offer of love and salvation that's in Jesus. He said, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, going back to what Peter said earlier this week, St. Peter in front of the Sanhedrin, there's no other name under heaven and earth by which man can be saved. There's no other name. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, Jesus said, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Those are powerful, powerful words. This is the verdict, Jesus said. The verdict has been cast, that the light came into the world and people preferred darkness. That's why we crucified him. He was the light itself, the burning torch of heavenly light and love. And humanity said no. Love came and we killed it. A word from the Father came and we silenced it. This is what Jesus is revealing about the human condition. And it's the same right now, friends. Friends, if we will conquer by God's grace, really, and by the natural gifts and things we have, we will conquer this coronavirus, but not without lots of suffering and death. But at the end of the day, what have we learned? Have we gained wisdom? Have people come to see that this temporary battle is just an indication of the inevitable battle, final battle for each one of us, in our battle against death itself? The church needs to come alive with great, great confidence now in Jesus, in the message, so we can be conduits of God's grace for the salvation of the world. So we can be filled with hope and not be afraid of death, but have the freedom of the apostles and the freedom of the Lord in the power of the Spirit, so we can be a conduit of his grace and we can be a light in darkness.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.